Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the SFLC podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that's dependable-solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com. That's teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business. Making it affordable is theirs. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A+ rating for over 5 years. Partnered with 98.5 The Sports Hub and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com. Finally, we'd like to thank the UFC South Austin Gym, located at 9900 South Interstate 35 in Austin, Texas. Learn how you can get 3 free classes when you sign up and mention the SFLC podcast. Be sure to call them at 512-292-1900.
SFLC podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the SFLC podcast here on this Wednesday afternoon. And we are joined here with one of the more popular fighters that we're going to be seeing fighting very soon here in the Professional Fight League, PFL, for that welterweight quarterfinal. Mr. Christopher Curtis joining us. He is originally hailing from Ohio, but I believe you've moved to... I believe you moved to a warmer climate as of late.
Yeah, man, I'm in Las Vegas now. So, you know, fight capital of the world. So that's been a nice change of pace, some warm weather. There's not, like, biblical storms every other day, so it's pretty nice.
Well, not just that. I believe that you are familiar with one of the favorites and regulars on the show, also does a lot of stuff with us with My MMA News. She just signed an Invicta contract, Serena De Jesu, the Southpaw herself.
Yes, Serena the Outlaw. She is a teammate of mine and definitely an interesting human being. Serena is special, so yeah, it's been fun getting to know her.
She's a blast to be around, and you know, it's good to know that you guys have kind of hooked up and you know, are training together. Always like to see that going on. But Chris, you know, man, let's just kind of jump right into it. Hope to not take up too much of your time, but you know, with your social media and with your rising popularity and stock in the PFL, I have a feeling we're gonna have some fun with this one.
Let's do it.
Well, you know, first thing, Chris, and I've covered PFL in Chicago, and we do a lot of PFL coverage for My MMA News. But the one thing that sticks out about me when I end up watching you fight, you're 5'10 and 170 pounds when you step in that cage right around there, yet you look so much bigger TV than you do in person. Is that something that you hear a lot?
But I'm kind of happy I look bigger on TV because I'm very sensitive about my height. I would kill to be 6 feet tall. I weigh about 190 pounds. I used to walk in about 205 and kind of got better about not getting so big. But I'm not very tall. I'm in wide welterweight. So I'm one of the picture wise welterweights. Never going to be tall, but at least I'm a large human.
Are people shocked when they see you and they find out that you're a professional fighter?
Yeah, it's funny, man. Especially outside of the gym, people say I'm like I'm a huge nerd, man. I'm a proud nerd. And just between my personality and, you know, like everybody looks at me, like, you're like an accountant or a banker. Then they're like, no, I hit people for money. And they're like, what? Never. But, you know, I don't walk around with, like, my tap out hat on or anything. Like, you know, I'm pretty low. Like, you know, I'm a guy who enjoys video games, comic books, anime, sci-fi. Now I'm that guy, so I'm very unassuming, so no one ever sees it coming.
No, and you and I kind of share that in common, you know. For me personally, everyone is always shocked when they find out that I cover combat sports to a point where it's like almost in disbelief. And I won't get too much into it. You know, I, in my industry, I always cover sports on Saturday nights. So my job, I always end up having Saturdays off. And people like think about that and they're like, that can't be real. So they go and research my name. So it's got to be way worse for you when they actually find out that you're a professional fighter.
It's just funny now because I'm big enough where I can just say Google me and like stuff comes up. It's not terrible. So that's great. Yeah, they're like, what? You're being so nice. And I'm like, yeah, we're, it's not like the 90s. We're walking around starting bar fights. Like, that's kind of gone. Like, you know, most fighters, you know, guys have been to college, family man. So it's the culture's definitely changed. Like, some people have a hard time accepting that. But and it is what it is, man. I can still beat the hell out of people, go home, read a book, and watch some cartoons. I'm like a samurai, man. I'm well-rounded, you know, combat, literature, art, you know. You got to have a balance.
I like that. So when you talk, and you've kind of addressed this on social media before, people that you grew up with, they seem to be the ones that are most shocked when they find out that you do this.
Some of them, man. Some of them are like, what, really? So, you know, I was an intelligent kid. But like the people I grew up with, you know, are like, well, if anyone was going to fight people for their entire life, it'd be me. It's like, you know, and, like in third grade when kids start playing like basketball and football and stuff on the playground, I'm still out there playing Power Rangers and Street Fighter by myself. Like, I was that kid. Like, I've always wanted to fight. Like, I was always out here, you know, wanting to fight. And now they'll pay me for more. So it worked out nicely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your fight career. You know, a year ago, you defeated Sean Alley on Dana White's Contender Series. Thinking you were going to land a contract, now are you kind of happier in hindsight that you're fighting in PFL instead of in the UFC?
Yeah, and it was soul-crushing at first, man. You know, I worked my entire life for the opportunity not to get it. And then to see him give contracts to people with, like, performances far, you know, inferior. I did that with a broken hand and a torn groin, and I've seen people go out there and put on fights not half as good and get signed. That hurt. But at the same time, you know, if I don't mess this up, I'm going to make more money than anybody's ever going to have made off of a starting UFC contract. So it sucks being passed over, but, like, how often do you get passed over for something better?
It's very rare. And, you know, you brought up the money. A lot of questions have been going around about fighter pay. You know, Dana White has been criticized about it. He's addressed it. You know, what are your thoughts about what you're seeing in the pay structure and for fighters in general?
It's the thing is, man, especially like, oh man, it's so all over the place. There's so many factors, and like PFL was the first time like in my life that like I'm making like money to live on. Everything's great. Like, you know, it's the first time in my adult life that I can have a pay for everything. Everything's taken care of. I'm in the black. You know, I don't need or want anything right now. I'm in a pretty good spot. So it's funny going from being making pennies for fights, you know, like just making such, you know, I'm out here fighting 20 something fights. I was fighting for, you know, $4,000 to like not needing anything. So it's so all over the place. It would be nice if there was rhyme or reason, because a lot of talented guys are out there not making anything, wondering like, what the hell am I doing?
I was going to say, how do you get through that?
You grind, man. You grind. I actually went pro because my son's mom lost her job, and we were like, well, we got to pay rent, so I went pro there. But growing, coming when I was younger, my son's mom, I've been really lucky because I knew that I could do this. Even before I knew I could do this, my son's mom was like, I want you to do this. And she was like, you know, put everything into this. I can hold this down. And she kind of got me started in my pro career. I got to start with the first 2 years of my pro career without really having to work like a regular person. Like, I had jobs here and there, but like, I was focused on fighting. And then from there, you know, it's kind of blossomed. So I got lucky starting out.
I would say so. Well, I'll tell you what, let's talk a little bit about this welterweight tournament that you're in. You know, you ended up going through the regular season. You ended up putting yourself at a number 7 seed. But is that seed underrating, or do you think that you can use that to your advantage?
At this point, I personally didn't care about the seeds at all. Like, I don't know, man. It never really bothered me. As long as I got in the tournament, then, like, I'm fine. I really never had the fight, so, like, it's I guess I'm one of those guys who just didn't care about the seating. They never bothered me. It never crossed my mind. I never tried to, do this giant equation of where I could be versus who I'm fighting. As long as I got in the tournament, that's all I needed. It never played anything in my mind at all, honestly.
Well, obviously you've got a tough draw against number second seed, guy that you ended up fighting earlier this year. Kind of a decision loss against Magomed Karimov. So another Dagestani fighter all the people from Dagestan are fighters. Does that kind of play into your mind when you fight him? Like, I'm fighting a Dagestani fighter. We know what this means.
Nah, man, and they're all different. Like, there's some of them coming to fight, and you got some like Magomed who's no interest in actually fighting. So I mean, they're a mixed bag, like everybody else. Some are there to bang, some are there to as possible. So it's just a mixed bag. Like, you could be from Dagestan, you could be from freaking Europe, you could be from fucking Mars. I don't care. Like, I'm gonna fight you regardless.
Well, and again, you had a very good. As good of a loss as you could have against him. So when you go back and you watch that last fight, what do you see? What's different this time around? What are you working on to make sure your hand is raised early in the evening?
For me, man, it's just when we went back and watched the video, we just saw from him, I didn't really make too many huge mistakes. I made a handful of small mistakes that snowballed out of control. So nothing really huge needed to change. We just had to go back and tighten up a few things. But, that was only my second fight with a new coach, new gym. So we kind of worked on some of my ability to interpret what was being told to me, correct the things to where you hear my corner telling me the correct things to do, and me kind of in the moment interpreting it differently. So we've worked a lot on figuring that out and, getting everybody on the same page.
You recently did an interview with MMA Today's Garrett Kerman. He favors you in this entire tournament. When you started in MMA, did you think to yourself you'd be considered by several media members to be this successful, to be that much of a front runner?
It's kind of almost yes and no things, man, to where, you always start, so you never really know where you're going to be. And man, I told myself I'm going to be great. So it's just kind of nice to people to be like, he can do this. And it's just funny because even a loss, I hate losing. And he broke a 10-fight win streak of mine that hurt. But it's funny, even in a loss, I've seen so much media, like, this is the first time anyone's made Magomed look human, and they're like, we don't really know what's going to happen the next time around. So yeah, you won, but it wasn't a great win for you, and I made you look like, it's funny to see, but I've always known that, I was going to be that one, I was going to be that guy. So now it's just a matter of, I'm just speaking into reality and making it a reality now. So now we're here. It's cool to hear, though. It's cool to see.
Well, the first fight, you made him look human. The second fight, you plan on winning. But with this format and a victory, you're fighting twice in one night. So what goes through your mind during training, knowing that, A, you have to beat Magomed, and you plan on beating Magomed, but then you also have to train for the winner of the fight between Tsai and Cooper, and you don't know who's winning that one?
It's funny, man. It's one of those things that doesn't really bother me because I've fought guys like Tsai before, I've fought guys like Cooper before, I've beaten the guys like that. As far as it goes, I fought a lot of five-round fights in my career. I two fights in a night, but it doesn't like scare me to doing that. I'm just like, I'm so used to doing stuff like this. Even my training splits on some days, it's a spar in the morning, I get a break, and then another spar in the evening. So this is just a continuation of what I've been doing. So, I think Tsai provides a little bit bigger challenge for me than Cooper does, just for, based on body types, but that's still a very winnable fight for me, and I know I can beat either one of them.
And with being victorious in two fights, you place yourself in the finals in December for PFL. End result, $1 million, Mr. Curtis. What would $1 million mean to you if you won this tournament?
Well, before, a few months ago, it would have meant I would have owned a tiger, but I realized Mike Tyson ruined that for everybody in Vegas, so I can't buy a tiger anymore. So outside of that, this is just, it's stability for my family to where everybody fights to everybody wants to leave something behind and have an exit plan. $1 million is a pretty nice exit plan. Takes a lot of stress off. Kind of lets me take my time deciding where I go from here. So $1 million validates all, you know, the last 13 years of work I put in.
You know, one question about how this format is in the PFL. We know how the scoring is in what they call the regular season, right? You get more points for finishing a fight earlier in the fight than, you know, if it ends up going to a decision. With the point system in place, A, what's going through your mind saying, I need to finish this fight, I want to get it done early so I get a higher seed?
Well, now, before, well, it doesn't matter. The points don't matter now, but because, you know, everything's set. But beforehand, it's funny because the first fight, I totally forgot about the point system in the fight. Where I heard the announcers mention, like, oh, he can still get 4 points. I was like, oh, crap, I should probably try to finish. But it does try to, it does make you kind of chase the finish faster. Because at the end of the day, higher seed technically means, you know, you're probably get, hopefully get an easier fight, easier time through, you know, less damage, less wear and tear. So the format-wise, I like the idea of it because it definitely makes you, you don't want to squeak by and risk getting a low seed or not getting enough points to get in at all. You know, if you sit by each or 3 points and everybody else gets finishes, even though you won, you push the bench to try on a lot of stall outs that you see in regular MMA. You see guys going out there and trying to get the finish and trying to make it impressive. So as a fighter, it's cool and work is making you try more.
There you go. And now, obviously, in the quarterfinals, you don't have to worry about points. You just worry about winning the fight. And that can be in a decision. That can be in a knockout or in a submission. Does that kind of ease the tension going into the quarterfinals, knowing now I'm not worried about winning points, I'm just worried about winning the fight?
Yeah, but for me, man, I'm always coming here. Like, my plan for every fight, points or not, is just beat on somebody until they stop. So, even with this, the playoffs, I didn't really put myself, before the playoffs, the regular season, I didn't put too much pressure on myself to, like, get the, you know, just do whatever. I'm just here to beat people up. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to kick ass, and the chips fall with my net. So it's just kind of my mentality towards things.
So with this fight, obviously you take on Magomed Karimov first. Can I hazard getting a guess for how you see this fight going down?
With Magomed, you know, he's strong. He's very durable. I'll give him that. He's durable. And he doesn't take a lot of chances. So I hate to say it, but I feel like I'm going to beat him up. I think it's going to be a decision. He's hard to finish, and he doesn't take chances. So it's hard to go out there and chase that. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to beat him up.
When you're chasing decisions, when you know that a fighter is so durable that a finish seems almost impossible, how do you play the rounds?
No, it just becomes just, you know, you can't take that risk. So in your head, you're just like, just beat on it. Just keep beating on him. Even if you won the first, if you won, you know, won the round, beat on him for the next round because you don't want to give a guy a chance. You let him off the hook, he's always got a chance to beat you. And you don't really want to have that, be that guy who's winning, and then kind of takes off the gas and loses. So you just keep beating on him, man. Like that's, I've got a very easy theory for fighting. It's just keep hitting him until he stops. So, you know, I don't have to overthink it too much.
That sounds like a pretty solid game plan. So, Chris, it looks like you are fully ready for the two fights that you potentially line yourself up for heading into the quarterfinals for PFL. But now we kind of got to do a little bit of the Chris Curtis fun questions. You know, we started getting your background, then we talked about the fights, but, you know, you talk about how you're a video gamer, Chris.
Yes.
All right. Well, in true James Lynch fashion, because James, a colleague, love the man to death. He's always covering everything. If you were to sit down with him and play him in a video game, which game are you absolutely destroying him in?
Honestly, any Fight Night or Tekken 7, actually any Tekken game, actually. Tekken or Fight Night, and there's no chance, nothing, it's just going to be a squash match, there'll be tears, like it's it'll be ugly.
Are you calling James out for that right now? Take me on in Fight Night?
Don't do that to that man. Like, don't do that to that man. He doesn't deserve that. He's a good dude. Don't do that to him. He doesn't need those problems in his life.
Oh, man. You know, and it's funny. I keep sitting here thinking about fight night. You know, with ESPN having picked up all these fight leagues, you remember how they used to do simulated games for, like, pro football, where they'd just turn on Madden and they'd let the computer simulate it. I'm shocked that we haven't seen that come from ESPN with Fight Night yet.
Dude, because they need to make a new Fight Night. It's been years. And, like, I miss Fight Night. Like, oh, man. Like, I even like Champion wasn't bad. I think it was, like, the last one. So, like, hopefully we get a new Fight Night soon and we can start doing that. I would love to see, like, the Kovalev, Canelo Alvarez simulation. Just, like, stuff like that would be great. So I can hold my breath, but I can hope I'm not going to hold my breath.
Oh, trust me. I was talking about that fight for a few days ever since that's been coming up. But you know what? As much as I'm looking forward to that fight, man, I'm looking forward to seeing Ryan Garcia fight again.
That's going to be interesting. Ryan Garcia is so good, so skilled. Like, I mean, Ryan Garcia is going to be a champion for a long time coming. So I'm definitely a Ryan Garcia fan.
Well, another question I have to ask you, again, because of how active you are on social media, I'm sure you're well aware of those Tekashi 6ix9ine memes that are running wild.
I have a collection of them in my phone, probably about 3.
I have to ask you, which one is your favorite?
So, one of the ones I just, hold on, like, as we say this, I mean, scroll through my galleries, I keep picking, I always try to get the best ones. And, like, my God, there's so many great ones. But, let's see, which one is this one? Oh, yeah, there's you see the one where he's a judge, is there anything else? Tekashi 6ix9ine, Jesus turned water into wine without a liquor license.
I did see that one. I liked that one. So there are a couple that I haven't seen, but were kind of going through my mind. And with you being as versed as you are, I'm going to ask you which one you think is better for that meme. The first one that I had was Han shot first. And the other one was Captain Kirk cheated on the Kobayashi Maru.
Dude, no, Han shot first was by far the best one. I gotta go Han shot first.
Well, now that I know that, I'm gonna have to send you that one because I think you're gonna enjoy that.
That's hilarious.
I haven't seen it anywhere. I just kind of went to a meme generator and made it, so I'll send it over to you when we're done with this. But
I'm reposting that. That's hilarious.
All right. Well, the last thing that I'm going to ask you, so we have a little bit of fun with this. You know, we talked about how you were a Midwest guy when you were growing up. Well, 5 years ago, you fought for Hoosier Fight Club in Indiana, and you fought a guy by the name of Bilal Muhammad.
Bilal.
Yes, sir. Seeing him in the UFC now and seeing what he's doing in the welterweight, has a rematch ever crossed your mind?
I wanted that rematch for a long, long time. It was a really weird fight. It's funny because, like, there was, like, odd bad blood I'd weigh in for some reason. I think it's just a misunderstanding. Maybe everybody was tired. So after that, like, fight, you know, him and I almost got into it. But, you know, I've followed his career since then. You know, I'm happy for the dude. Like, he's been going out there. He's won some fights people thought he was going to lose. Even some fights he lost, he's been busting ass. You know, I'm happy for the dude. Like, from the stuff he said, everything he posts, he's actually a pretty good human being, it seems like. So, like, you know, I had to kind of realize my immaturity in that situation and let it go. So, you know, I'm a fan, man. I cheer a guy on. Like, anytime he's fighting, you know, I'll pull one for him. So, kind of had to grow up a little bit. But, man, I hated that guy for years.
That's cool, man. I like hearing that. You know, a lot of times in this sport, it's not always, you don't need the shit talking. You don't need the bad blood. You just go out and you put on a performance, and, you know, everybody kind of wins in that situation. But Bilal just came off a big win in Abu Dhabi. Do you see him? Do you see him being in the top 15 after another victory?
Man, I think he could. Like, he's one of those guys. He's so talented, but there's very specific matchups that give him trouble. But, like, you know, I At the end of the day, there's a lot of guys. I think this guy's a top 15 he does beat. So if he gets the right matchup, he gets in there hands down. So that'll be pretty big for him. So, you know, I'm still pulling for him. I think he can do it.
Well, there you go. Bilal Muhammad is going to have to hear about that. But you know what, Chris, man? We had a blast. I love talking with fighters, especially when they're so candid as much as you are. So it was a pleasure being able to hit you up right before your PFL welterweight quarterfinal matchup. So before we let you go, man, is there anything else that you're looking at? Anyone that you want to thank? Your sponsors?
Yeah, man, thanks. My management, Iridium Sports Agency, they're taking care of me. Lance Spaulding, dude does everything for me, man. He's great. He's a liaison, does everything for me. My coaches, John Wood, Neil Melanson, Kevin Holsey, Casey Holsey, everybody from Syndicate MMA, Extreme Couture, and 10th Planet Las Vegas. All my teammates, you know, I couldn't do this without these guys. Thank these guys so much. And, you know, keep an eye out for me, guys. I'm going to go win $1 million.
I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, Christopher Curtis joining us. Make sure you check him out in that welterweight quarterfinal matchup going on. A lot to look at as far as that is concerned. And we'll have a lot more coming up with that. Is the PFL 2019 playoff brackets are set. We'll be seeing him in action Friday, October 11th. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll be giving you everything. And you can catch this on My MMA News as well. But I am Ryan Sprague. Take care, everybody. We'll see you soon.